Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to see folk from the community. It's great to welcome people from other parts of the island. And I know that many of you are also home for Christmas. We're so, so glad you're back. And we pray that you'd all be blessed and encouraged as we worship together. It's a long time since we've had to put out extra seats for a church service. So it's just awesome to be able to do that. Thank you so much for being here. The service format tonight will be a little bit different from usual. We're going to have more singings, so there'll be more opportunities to sing, and we're going to have several different readings, each recounting for us the momentous events of Jesus' birth. And I'm delighted to be welcoming friends to come up and share in the readings as we go through the service together. And then towards the end of the service, there'll just be a short sermon. This will be the one and only time you'll get a short sermon from Thomas Davis, so you can look forward to that. I'll have to stick to my word. We'll look to wrap up about 7 o'clock. And then afterwards, we'll have tea and coffee served, both at the hatch and at the station at the front here. And we'd love to be able to share a time of fellowship together afterwards. So please do stick around. It's a great opportunity to catch up with people you haven't seen for a long time, and a great opportunity to meet new people as well. So a very, very warm welcome to you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to begin and we will prepare our hearts for worship with the words of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is our call to worship for this evening. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Most of our songs tonight will be carols, but we're going to begin singing together from Psalm 100, which is a psalm that is so fitting for a carol service like this, because it speaks of all the nations of the world rising up to sing with joy and thanksgiving to God. And as we sing these words, we are continuing on, many, many generations before us have sung these words. Many people around the world continue to sing them today, and they're all expressing the joy and hope that we have through the birth and work of Jesus. So Angus is going to lead us, and we're going to stand and sing these wonderful words together.
All people that on earth.
Serve with mirth his praise for ten.
Let's pray together. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we thank you so, so much that we can come together this evening to worship you and to sing your praise in the name of your Son, in the presence of your Spirit. We bow before you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we rejoice that we can come here this evening to worship you together. Thank you for everybody who has come here. Thank you for everybody joining us online. Thank you for this amazing opportunity to be able to worship together. And we come together tonight with joy because of your Son, our Lord Jesus, who was born in such humble circumstances and who experienced so much opposition, who suffered so much, and yet now is risen at your right hand. And he's the one who gives us hope and joy and peace. And we are here tonight to celebrate that and to thank you that you sent your Son. You did not spare him, but you gave him up for us all so that we might be saved. And we pray that as we gather together this evening, you would be near to us, that you would speak to us, and that you would draw us all closer to you. Thank you for everybody who's come this evening. And whoever we are, Father, you know us and you know our circumstances. And we come here with joy and thanksgiving for the many, many good gifts in our lives. But we also come here with bruises and scars from all the struggles that life can bring. And as we come to you this evening, we come to you as we are, and we lay ourselves, our lives, and our hearts before you. And we pray, O God, that you would meet with us all. We acknowledge that that we have wandered from you in our lives. We acknowledge that we are sinners, but we thank you so much that in Jesus there is healing and forgiveness, hope, grace, mercy, and love. And we pray that all of those things would become clearer to us as we sing and as we read and as we study your word together. Thank you so, so much that we have this opportunity to worship together. And we do so recognizing that we are part of a worldwide family of believers. And we rejoice that there are many, many others, people all over the world, rising up today to sing the praise of Jesus. And we join with them with thanksgiving in our hearts, praying that all across our nation and to the ends of the earth, the name of Jesus would be lifted on high. So bless us all, be with us, and please may your Spirit be moving among us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing lots of different songs together tonight, all of them speaking of the wonder of the fact that Jesus sent his Son into that God sent his Son, Jesus, into the world to be our Savior. And we're going to sing together the wonderful hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. This is a hymn that just echoes that great imagery we have of the angels singing across the skies on the night that Jesus was born. And the words that we sing here, they actually speak so powerfully of the gospel and of everything that God is doing for us through Jesus. So the musicians are going to lead us, and we're going to stand and sing together.
Peace on earth.
We're going to have several readings from Scripture this evening, each of these describing the great night when Jesus was born. And so I'm first of all going to invite Ian McLean, one of our elders. He is going to come forward and read to us from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The words will be on the screen, and you can read along as Ian reads this passage for us.
Slant ich rier en hullet an en akustation nog. Das sind gemat talich die Steinker. Wir haben an hier nog. Ich is mal like die is blion war hier geil ülle. Tonight's reading is the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much, Ian. We're now going to sing What Child Is This? This is, many of you will know this carol, some of you may not though, but it's a very familiar tune, and again, beautiful words, just speaking of the magnitude of the child born in Bethlehem. So the musicians will lead us and we'll stand and sing together.
Angels greet with thanks.
Well, as I'm sure you all know, the Gaelic language is such an integral part of our culture and our community here on the islands. And we love to be able to include Gaelic aspects in our services. And later on, we're going to be singing a Gaelic psalm. But I'm delighted to invite Mary, who's going to come forward and read our next passage from Luke's Gospel in Gaelic. And now on the screen, you'll have both the Gaelic and English in parallel, so you'll be able to follow along in both. Hopefully that will help you keep pace to where we are. But we very much want to hear the Gaelic language being spoken, and I'm delighted to welcome Mary as she comes and reads this passage for us.
In Hoshkel Lukas, Capture Lega, Elevig von Hoshoch, Gu Ran Eshach. Ans Nalayan Shin, Chai Ordu Amach, O Caesar Augustus, in Sol Ule Ivi Irachlarig. Besho Ichiat Chlarig, Echai Yanu, Nereva Kyrinius, Nerealoter, Syria. Agus Chai Dule, Gusivi Irachlarig. Gach un gwef ala hyn. Chai Yosef Cudioch Suas o Galilee, a Bala Nazareth, gw Judea, gw Bala Gaifi, lys yn canyr Bethlehem. O chywn sgymbynnyge do chywloch agos do lych Gaifi. Yr son sgymbynnyge yr achlarwch colyr i mwyddo y fath o iawlwch pos i ege, agos i trawm lelianw. Agus hachar na rifat an sin, gynhannig an thaim ar sons gynhorig I an lianu ystiach an hyl, agus rwgi y chiad ddyn mych, agus fasgi e an y nerdoch suani, agus chwyddi e na laia an ymprasi che, y chiwns na chro aatia ans an thaios dy gaif.
Carol Infant Holy. Again, this is a short but very beautiful carol. Again, just speaking to us about Jesus, about the child born in the manger, come to be our Saviour. So we'll stand to sing, and the musicians will lead us as we sing Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, for his bed a cattle stall. For our next reading, I'm delighted to invite a really good friend of mine, Andy Cumming. Andy's an elder in Garabost Free Church, and it's a huge privilege to welcome friends from across the island as we come to worship together. Andy's going to read to us the next section of Luke's Gospel, continuing on from where Mary finished reading from verse 8. So delighted to welcome you, Andy. Thank you.
Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Amen.
Thank you so much, Andy. Our next song is Silent Night. I'm going to ask you just to stay seated for this. As we sing this together, I don't know if someone's trying to message me, I don't know if that was me, but anyway. As we sing this, before the last verse, we're going to incorporate a short reading from Isaiah. So we'll remain seated, but please do sing along as we listen to God's word and as we sing about that great night together. So the musicians will lead us. Let's sing to God's praise together.
Thank you.
So good. For our final reading, I'm delighted to invite Abby MacLeod to come up and read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to 15. And it's a huge privilege to welcome Abby. As many of you will know, our partnership with the Church of Scotland here is something that means so, so much to us. And it's so good to see so many of you coming to support us again this evening. And it's a huge privilege to have you, Abby, as one of our readers tonight. So it's with great pleasure I invite you forward to read this passage. Thank you.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son."
Thank you so much, Evie. We're going to sing a Gaelic psalm now, and the psalm is Psalm 107, and we're going to sing verses 28 to 30. Gaelic psalm singing is such a beautiful and important part of our heritage here. You can see on the screen just now, we've got the English and the Gaelic side by side. And so you can see that this these two verses that we're going to sing are speaking about being caught in a storm. And the verses that we sing, that we're going to sing in particular, are speaking about God calming that storm. It's the picture of sailors in trouble, in fear of their lives, crying out to God and being helped by him. Now, if anyone's unfamiliar with Gaelic psalm singing, it's a little bit different from singing in English, but it's very straightforward. We sing the first two lines together, so in a moment Dole will lead us, and he'll sing those first two lines, "Gle iadri chien chain, is hir iad on triplachir." They cried to God in trouble, he freed them. And so we'll sing those two lines together. And then from the third line, verse Mark 29 there, "Grat churid leis in styrum gifé," Dole will sing that line on his own. And then we will sing it back to him. And from that point on, we follow the pattern of Donald putting the line out, and as a congregation, we sing the line back to him as we worship God together. So it's all very straightforward. We'll sing two stanzas together. We remain seated for singing in Gaelic, singing these beautiful words about God bringing calm to a storm. "Gle iadri chia in chain is hir iad on triplach hir."
We are three, sessions tharam kufiya gra
reasons why I wanted to sing from Psalm 107 is that I'd like to actually look at some of those verses together. And so I'm going to read just a few verses around that section that we sung from Psalm 107, verses 23 to 32. And as I said, this is using the imagery of being at sea and caught in a storm to describe the experience of God's people. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Let's pray. Father, as we turn to your word just now, may we all be still. May we all hear your voice. May we all know that you are God. And may we all be drawn deeper into a knowledge of you and your love shown to us through Jesus. Still us, meet with us, bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. When we think of the Christmas scene of the Nativity, that moment when Jesus was born and when his mother laid him in a manger, very often the picture we have in our minds is one of peace and tranquility. And that tends to be how it is depicted, and that's certainly how I tend to imagine it when I think about it. And there's nothing wrong with that. There is something beautiful about that scene where baby Jesus was laid in the manger by his mother. And we do just imagine that beautiful scene, although I'm sure Mary looked and felt a whole lot worse than the pictures sometimes convey. But still, there's something beautiful and peaceful about that image. And same when you think of the shepherds, there's just something so inspiring, something glorious about shepherds out in their fields being confronted with angels singing God's praise. And so we often have this picture in our minds of Jesus being born into a scene of peace and tranquility. I'm not totally sure that that's correct. I think the truth is that Jesus was born into a storm. And that's certainly true of his life. And so we don't know for certain how the manger and shepherd scenes played out all those years ago in Bethlehem, but we do know for certain that it was not long before turmoil and opposition became a reality in Jesus' life. And the final section of the bit that Ebby read for us spoke of that. Herod sought to put him to death, and Joseph and Mary and Jesus had to flee for their lives south to Egypt. And that experience was to continue right through Jesus' life. He was constantly facing opposition from the moment that he began his public ministry. He was confronted with people who were against him and who ultimately wanted to destroy him. He faced false accusation, constantly meeting people who wanted to undermine him and trick him. All of that was moving towards the culmination of Jesus' mission, the whole reason that he came. It was all moving towards the cross. And that was the greatest storm of all. And that was why he came. When Jesus was born, he was born into a storm. And Psalm 107 uses that imagery to describe the experience of God's people. Psalm 107 is actually a really fascinating psalm to think of from a Lyosoch's point of view, because it's actually a very long psalm, and in the psalm, there's four different images that are used to describe the experience of God's people. In verses 4 to 9, it describes people wandering in the desert. And again, it's very vivid and powerful. In verses 10 to 16, it describes people who are imprisoned. And in verse 17 to 22, it describes people who are suffering affliction, illness, and disease. These are all great images. We never sing them. And we don't tend to focus on them when we look at Psalm 107, because we always go to these verses. Verses 22, 23 to 32. We always go to them as Lyosoch's because it's talking about a storm. And we can instantly relate to that as a coastal community. We all live near the sea. We know what it's like for a storm to batter against our coastline. We can relate to it because we live in a climate of many, many gales, as you know, coming here tonight. And most of all, we can relate to it because so often life feels like a storm. And that can be overwhelming. When you step out into a storm on a night like this, or as we've had over the past week, you feel tiny because you realize you're confronted by something that is so much more powerful than you are. You feel exposed. You're not safe. You're in danger. And in a storm, the one thing that you desperately need is something that is not you. In a storm, you need something that's not you. Now, that might be something as simple as a winter jacket and a hat. I went out for a walk this afternoon and I met somebody who came down the road, and all you could see was this kind of slit between the bottom of their jacket and their hood pulled down, and that kept them safe and warm. But it wasn't them. It was something that was not them protecting them from the elements. Same in our houses. We need walls. We need a roof. We need a harbor if we're out at sea in rough weather. So often life feels like a storm. And maybe you can look back over 2023 and you can see many calm days in your experience, many things that have gone well, many happy memories. But I have no doubt that all of you can look back over this year and remember storms. Moments of anxiety, fear, uncertainty, and heartbreak. And maybe that storm is still raging tonight. The key point I want to highlight tonight is that as Jesus was born in a storm, it was for two reasons. It was so he could meet you there, and it's because he will not leave you there. Often our spiritual experience is like a storm. And when I say spiritual, I don't mean kind of weird and mystical. I just mean the fact that there's certain stuff that's not physical, that's real. And even people who maybe are very skeptical about the supernatural, you still, I have no doubt, believe that there are things that are not physical that are real. Things like love and hate and joy and hope. None of them are physical. They are all real. We all, therefore, have a spiritual life. We all have a spiritual experience because all of these things can affect us. And it can happen in so many different ways. You can be lying in bed at night and the wind and the rain might be pelting against your window. And at the same time, your heart has been hammered with feelings of anxiety, of inadequacy, of regret about the past, fear about the future. Maybe you go out for a walk and you get knocked off your stride by the wind. That can so easily happen. So often life does the same. You get unexpected news. Things go wrong. Dreams that never turned out quite how you hoped. And I have no doubt that everybody in here will be able to look back at things in 2023 and think, I wish that that hadn't happened. I didn't see it coming. And it's not what I wanted. Or maybe the storm scene that we can relate to most is when you're on the ferry and you're heading out of Loch Broom thinking, oh, how is this going to be? And it's okay in Loch Broom, and if you're really stupid, you go and eat some dinner, and then you get out into the Minch and it starts to rock and you are just thinking, oh, I just want this over. Why am I here? And so often in life, we can face those situations. We're caught, trapped, thinking, why am I here? I wish it wasn't like this. I wish I was at home. So often life will leave us with that heartbreak, that anguish. So often life will take us into the storm. Jesus meets us there. The reason Jesus was born is so that he could meet you in all of these storms. In all the anxiety of the middle of the night, in all the disruption of unexpected news, of all the fear and discomfort of being buffeted by things that you wish weren't happening, Jesus meets us in all these storms. It's so important to remember that. Jesus, if Jesus is a sailor, he never ever parks his yacht in Monaco. He's not sitting in luxury, just only interested in the elite and successful and the people who've got everything together. Jesus is not sitting parked in Monaco. Jesus is patrolling a North Atlantic winter, ready to meet with all who are caught in the storms of life. And if that's where you are, if you feel spiritually exposed tonight, now when I say spiritually exposed, what I mean is simply that if you're sitting here thinking, I don't have the answers to life's biggest questions. I don't know what's going to happen when I die. I don't know what ultimate truth I should believe. I don't know what I can rely on. If you feel spiritually exposed, if you feel spiritually buffeted, if the waves of life are crashing into you, if stuff just keeps going wrong, if you feel like you're mucking everything up and you just feel like you're sinking and everything is starting to overwhelm you, or if you feel spiritually adrift, maybe you know the gospel and maybe there are times in your life when you think, I was so much closer to Jesus and I've drifted. I've been washed out to sea in terms of my spiritual life. I've wandered away from him, and all the other things going on in my life have just pushed me further and further away. If you feel spiritually exposed or spiritually buffeted or spiritually adrift in all of these storms, Jesus will meet you there. Jesus will meet you in these storms. And the manger proves that. He came to meet us right where we are. But he also came because he doesn't want to leave you there. He's come to rescue us from that storm, from all the storms of injustice, heartbreak, evil, and death. That's what the gospel message is all about, to actually make a difference to those massive things that ruin life. And this is where we see one crucial difference with Jesus, because when Jesus was born, when he came into the world, so many things were the same for him as they are for us. So we are exposed to all the challenges of life, so was he. He knows exactly what it's like to suffer, to be rejected, to be criticized, to be lonely. We are battered, so was he. Physically and emotionally, he was subject to so much abuse. We experience anguish where we see people we love and we're so worried about them. He experienced exactly the same. So much of it is the same, but there's one massive difference. In a storm, we are tiny, but Jesus isn't. He is not tiny in the face of a storm. In fact, he can calm a storm because he reigns over it. You see that described in Psalm 107. It's described again in the life of Jesus. I won't read that passage. It's just one of the famous events in the gospel when Jesus was in a boat in a storm and his disciples were terrified. They woke him up. They said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And he said to the sea and to the wind, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was great calm. Jesus is big enough to calm the storm. And we marvel at that and you think, wow, it's amazing that Jesus can do that. But it's only half the story. Jesus rescues us from the storm of our spiritual lostness. But he doesn't do that by making the storm disappear. He does it by turning the storm onto himself. And that is what the cross is all about. The cross is Jesus turning the storm onto himself so that all the consequences of our sin, all the power of evil and death is turned onto him in place of us. Jesus is not an ice cream on the beach on a nice sunny day. In other words, he's not a bonus to make a nice life a wee bit nicer. Not at all. Jesus is the one who has come to deliver us from the storm. That means that he is the rock-solid wall that protects us from the wind. He's the immovable roof that shelters us from the rain. He is the glowing stove that keeps us warm when it's freezing outside. He has come to take all the consequences of our sin onto himself so that we can be delivered, so that we can be rescued, so that we can be safe. And the truth that we have all got to recognize is that we desperately need him. Because spiritual reality is a storm. Life is so often a storm. And in that storm, in all the heartbreak and sorrow and struggles, all the ways in which life feels unfair and in which things seem to be going wrong, in all the ways in which our hearts are broken, in those situations, you're tiny and I'm tiny. And in those situations, you're exposed and I'm exposed. And in those situations, you desperately need someone that is not you. You desperately need him. And that's the amazing promise of Jesus. That's why he was born, to come and meet you and to come and save you, so that he will not leave you in the storm. And that phrase there works in two ways. Jesus will not leave you in the storm, and that works in two ways. The first is that when storms in life do come, he'll always stay right by your side. He'll not leave you on your own. And when the final storm of your life comes, when the waves of death are finally engulfing you, he will take you out of the storm and take you to be by his side forever. We in the Hebrides, we know all about storms. And all of that is helping us to see how great, how glorious, how powerful, how beautiful, how amazing our Savior is. He was born into a storm. He was born to meet you there. And he was born so that you will never be left there on your own. And so as we rejoice in his birth, as we think about our lives and as we think about our futures, well, I don't know. On an awful night in Lewis, if there's a living room with a peat fire on and with walls around that peat fire that have stood through a million gales and a roof that's never shifting, and you're standing outside in the horrific wind and the awful rain, and someone says, come in. If you said, oh no, I think I'll stay out here, I think everybody would think that you are absolutely crazy. Well, that's exactly what Jesus is saying to you tonight. He's saying, come into my arms. Come into my harbor. Come and trust in me, and I'll protect you from the storm forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came ready and willing to be born into a storm. I thank you that that's where you meet us. But thank you that that's where you promised to rescue us from. And we pray that we would all know and understand that. We pray that for all of us, whether we've been following you for years or maybe whether we've never really even been sure if we've believed in you up until this point, we pray that we would all just cry out to you and find the peace and the security and the safety that only you can give. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to conclude with two final singings. The first is O Holy Night, which is just a beautiful tune, beautiful words, which speak again so powerfully of that amazing night when Jesus was born into the storm to be our Savior. So the musicians will lead us. We'll stand to sing this. Afterwards, we'll sit down and I'll come and announce our final singing before we sing it together. So, O Holy Night, let's stand and sing together.
Lonely.
please take a seat for a moment. Just before we have our final singing, just a wee explanation again that when we serve tea afterwards, there'll be a hatch, there's the hatch at the back there and also a station there. So you can just go to the area that's closest to you and shuffle back to your seats. Please do stay behind for that. We'd love to have you with us. I just want to take a moment to say a huge thank you to everybody who's helped prepare all the different aspects of the service tonight. Thank you so much to everybody who helped with the readings. Thank you so much to you all for coming along and supporting us tonight. And I want to say a special thank you to our presenters, singers, musicians, for being absolutely amazing tonight. I think they deserve a round of applause. Thank you very much. So we're going to conclude with the wonderful hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. Whenever we have an event like this, I spend the whole week telling John, don't be too loud with the drums. But for the last one, you can be as loud as you bloomin' like. So just roll up your sleeves and go for it, and we'll sing this wonderful hymn, just rejoicing, adoring our incredible Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Absolutely amazing Christmas day, and may you know God's blessing and peace as we look into the new year and 2024. And as we depart just now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And all God's people say, Amen.